John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be here and to worship with you together our risen Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Before we listen to our sermon, I'd like to introduce myself, that you know what kind of person standing before you. My name is Harpen Peters. I'm from Germany. I'm 57 years old. I'm married almost 30 years. I have two children, one wife. And, I used to be an electrician technician, and then at the age of 23, I came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm very glad that he changed my life. He turned it around, and I'm happy to be here and to share something about God's Word. Almost 24 years, my family and myself, we are working with the so-called DMG, German Missionary Fellowship. We have about 340 missionaries worldwide in several countries, about 70 countries. And I also used to be a missionary. I'm actually a missionary pastor, and my wife and I, we worked in Taiwan. In China there, it's in a church. And since almost 12 years, I'm a personal director for our co-workers in Asia, so I'm kind of boss to Claudia, and also to our partners in the Middle East. Yeah, I also feel that I have to say something to you. As a standing church for Claudia, thank you so much for your faithful prayer and support. And I don't mean the money in first case. No, money is not so important. But, you know, having friends like you, the same age, sometimes a little bit older, standing behind her, writing letter, encouraging her, praying for her. I mean, she has been out there 4 years. And this has been her very first home assignment. So sometimes things are going rough. But I want to express our deep thankfulness. It means a lot to Claudia to have such a faithful, good church here behind her, praying and supporting her, but not only for her, also for us as the Mission Society. So it's my privilege this morning to be here and to enjoy the sweet fellowship with you. And, I would like to say a prayer and let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace, which you have shown us in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, in this dark world. And Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are indeed the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you are the Good Shepherd. Thank you that we can gather together this morning here and we come before you because we acknowledge we need you. We need your blessings. We need your guidance. We need the power of the Holy Spirit and through your word to understand your will, Lord. So therefore we come before you. And we are confident that you are here. And we are confident also that you will bless us and also the children you entrusted to us. We pray that they right now also will receive good teaching and that they will find very early you as their personal Savior and Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm missing here a cup of water. Can I? It's okay. We are just like a family, you know, so it's...
okay.
Well, we lived several years in Taiwan, China, and we used these chopsticks, you know, for to eat our meal. Sometimes my son, he just took one to pick up all the meat. But actually, you need both, you know, to have a proper Chinese meal. Otherwise, it's not proper Chinese, okay? And I'd like to use the chopsticks this morning to share something about that the missionary and the church belong together. Actually, yes. What will be a missionary like Claudia or some other missionaries you might be aware of without church, without support, without prayer, without friendship? And on the other hand, what will be a church without mission and compassion and love for the lost? So both belong together. And I was thinking this morning in my prayer time, maybe I can use this chopstick and to demonstrate to all of us that actually we as church and our dear missionary, we have to place ourselves every day in the almighty hand of our God, that His will be done, not only in heaven, but also here in your life, in my life, and also in her life. And I think it's very encouraging that we belong together in this church and also to serve Him. It's a privilege that we can partner together. As we are celebrating this morning this special commission service, we want to listen what Jesus Christ is teaching us, what He is telling us about mission and why we as mission society, but also you as a church, why we are still sending out missionaries, you know. When we look in our society right now, we are discovering that too many people in our land of Reformation, they think, no, mission is mega out. It's nostalgic. It doesn't belong to us anymore. Today, some other words are important to people, like religious dialogue or tolerance are the key words from the mainstream people. And in the supermarket of spirituality, people are patching their own religion together, you know, here a little bit, there a little bit. And Buddhism has become a trend religion here in Germany. You know, before I became a Christian at the age of 23, I used to be a Buddhist. I've been involved in Jewish stuff for many years. And the Lord saved me and brought me to a Buddhist country, you know, to serve Him and to serve the Buddhist people with the gospel. And then after 10 years, we came back to Germany, and I was shocked to see that Christians are using Buddhist material and like meditation and yoga to receive a so-called better Christian life. It's ridiculous, because yoga always has been a deep religious issue in Hinduism and Buddhism. Nothing to do with Christian life. So, and also on my journey to the truth, I found out that in Buddhism, there's no forgiveness at all. Not for 1 cent, nothing. You have all have to make up. So when we come together this morning to think about commission, so we have to ask ourselves, you know, what do people need today, here and worldwide in Kaluga, that they can live a meaningful life with fulfillment and dignity? You know, on the one hand, the postmodern man, he is reaching to the stars. But we are realizing that we are not in control. I think the last couple of months have told us pretty clearly that we have nothing in our hands. Nothing under control. We invented a marvelous communication system around the globe, 24 hours available. But still, yet, look to your neighborhood, look to your friends. So many people feel empty, feel lonely. And in effect, more and more people, not only in this country, now in other countries as well, they need pastoral care and counseling. If you need an appointment with a therapist or a counselor, you have to wait maybe 6 months. I mean, that should be an eye-opener for us living in this country. What happened in the land of Reformation? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10, that He, God, the Almighty, He has set the eternity in people's heart of man. But they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. And because of this, God created us. There is a deep longing in our life for the truth, to have true meaning in our lives. And only God can give it to us. What is our response? What is your questions and what is your answer when people are questioning you about meaning of life? Or do we give answers to questions that nobody is asking us? Are we brave enough to share God's truth, telling the truth but please, in love and gracious. Like Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Just a few weeks ago, I was reading a statement from him, written in 1970s, or we talk about a century ago. And he declared very clearly, men have forgotten God. And that is the reason for the problems of the 20th century. And we will not find solution until we return to God, to the creator of all things. Isn't this a statement really true for the 21st century? Very similar, just a couple of years ago. So what do people need today, here in Kaluga, worldwide? That they can have a meaningful life and a life with dignity? I'm more and more convinced that we need more and more this Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That people can see there's something in our life. It's totally different, not because of us, but because of the grace of God that He has given us, Jesus Christ. And therefore, I believe every day we have to come back to the author of life, reading His word, meditating on. And also this morning, as we were reading chapter 20, I think excellent when we read, you know, the same on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear for the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." It had been actually a very disappointing and frightening week for the disciples. It seemed that everything had fallen apart since the night Jesus was arrested and later on crucified. At the end of this day, his followers were gathered together and they shut the door, shut for fear of the religious leaders these days. Therefore, they were hiding themselves behind tight, locked doors. Their hearts were full of despair and fear. No wonder. And I believe that they did not expect at all to see and to meet Jesus Christ. And then, suddenly, without any warning, Jesus showed up in their midst. Jesus shows up behind the closed door. And I think it's interesting that the locked door was incapable to keeping Jesus from showing up. And this is marvelous. The reason Jesus had conquered the world, Jesus Christ conquered the devil, the hell, the flesh. Jesus had conquered death. Do you think Jesus was going to let a little thing like a locked door keep him out? No. So dear Claudia, as you are preparing yourself to move back to Kaluga, never ever forget that this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is also your Savior, your Savior. And He will be with you. And He also will be with us every day until we will go home. And it's amazing that Jesus Christ, He is Almighty, and He is, and He will be an awesome God forever and ever. And it's a privilege not only knowing him in such a personal way, but also He called us to serve Him and others in spite of our difficulties and shortcomings. I used to be a stutterer for many years. In reading, I had always a very bad grade. And I feel, no, I can't speak for a group of people. It's God's grace. He's changing us. He's helping us. So, and what I learned from this brief passage here, and this is what I really love about our Lord Jesus, His interaction with His disciples. I think it's called our attention because we can learn something how we should interact with other people. So first of all, peace be with you, and His peace must be experienced. Peace be with you. I really like the way how Jesus was dealing with the crisis. Jesus took the initiative. He took the first step. And He came to them personally, as a person. And Jesus did not begin His conversation with blaming them or correcting them, not at all. He didn't remind them of their failure or weakness. In the existential fear, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, speaks the ordinary Middle Eastern greeting, peace be with you. Shalom Aleichem, an ordinary phrase, becomes an extraordinary promise when spoken by the resurrected Savior. The phrase means more than may God be saved you from trouble. It means may God give you everything good. Peace be with you. Actually, when we read the whole story, there hadn't been a lot of peace among the group. They were fearful, guilt-ridden, grief-stricken bunch of people, fearing the religious leaders, and they had many reasons for it. And now, the living word from the Savior transformed them and calmed immediately their hearts. And that's why I believe very strongly we need the spoken word from God, from the Bible, in our lives, to calm our hearts. You know, there are so many things around us that scares us to death. So we need God's word. And now his word transformed them. And all of a sudden their hearts were filled with tremendous joy. And they also have to experience forgiveness by themselves and also restoration. So today, I guess everybody has a very busy schedule. Sometimes we are so busy, we forget some other people and also some other things. We are very busy. But I think it's also time for us to realize what's the reason why we are. It's good to have a workplace. It's good to have a family and a student. But however, you know, I used to be not only a personal director, I used to be the vice president from DMG for 5 years. And people said, oh, great, how you are the vice president from the biggest mission society from all over Germany, you know. Mr. Harpo Peters, who am I? I came to the point, and I thank you, my dear daughter Jessica. She's an adopted daughter from Taiwan. Last year she wrote a paper about burnout. And she asked me, Daddy, do you have some kind of information? So I took the file, gave it to her. And after she prepared her paper, she came to me and said, Daddy, do you know that you are on the road to hit the wall? And I said, Jesse, I know. And just a week from my birthday, she came along my side and said, Daddy, we hate to let you go. We need you, you know. And this made something with me. I have to rethink my life, my schedule, being a personal director, being the vice president. Then I came to the point, after consulting my dear brethren from the church, to cut down and to step back. I'm no more the vice president. And I'm very happy about it. I have more time for people, for prayer, for myself and for my family. Peace be with you. So I'd like to encourage you, also, Claudia, very soon you will leave to Kaluga and everything goes right. So please, please take time to become holy, to sit in front of the Lord and pray. And if you don't set the time, you will be always busy, don't have time. I have to share a story from a dear missionary from Japan. When he finished up his first home assignment, so he prepared himself to go back to Japan. He had a couple of kids, you know. So they were praying for a house. But so at the end of the home assignment came very close, and he didn't have a house, you know, for his family, because he's a father. So he was worried about it. And one day morning, while he was starting to do his quiet time, his devotion time, he was so, you know, in despair, said he said, well, I know Japanese. I just hook on the internet and I will look for an apartment by myself. And as he turned on the computer, God talked to him, Martin, close it down, seek my face and worship me. So he turned off the computer, took the Bible, kneeled before his bed and was reading the Bible, reading through and meditating on it. And worshiping God. While he was praising God, the fax machine turned on. And the fax came from Japan. And somebody said, hey, how many people are praying for you? We not only found a house. We found a house with a garden for the kids to play. And we found a house that is cheaper than other houses. The Lord answers prayer. But we have to set our priorities right. Peace be with you. And it must be experienced in our daily life. So we come to the second point, and you might have wondered why Jesus repeated this peace, this shalom. Peace be with you, and I think this peace must be shared with people who need peace. The second portion was no longer for the disciples. They had already the first portion. So this peace must be shared to those who are lost and living in darkness. And if we participate in God's mission, the peace of Christ is ours forever and ever. So we Christians today, we should not hide behind locked doors. We should open our homes to invite people. We should open our life, our hearts, to let people see that we also, as Christians, we are having a problem. You know, I've been married with my wife for 30 years, and we always want to have many kids. But very soon it was obvious we can't have our own kids. And it has been very difficult for us, because we compared ourselves with others. For 10 years, no children at all. It was very painful for us. But we came to the point that Jesus Christ, he can give us a happy life even without fulfilled wishes. And now he led us to adopt the 2 Chinese children, and I am proud to be their father. So the love of Christ compels us to share the transformed power of the gospel in our life. And this not only includes our wording, it includes our lives as well. As like Paul in the 2 Thessalonica, 2 chapter, verse 8, is telling us, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. What a marvelous testimony. So dear to us. Let us look to this group Jesus intends to send out. It's amazing that Christ chose ordinary people like you and me, and they become ambassadors, messengers of his peace. How do you send out a very group like this? Answer: with the peace and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. This enables them to leave the comfort zone and to proclaim the grace and the love in Christ. From a hiding, frightened group to a bold and brave, fearless witness to share the goodness of the living God. And it happens not because they are gifted people. It happened not because they had special talents. No. God was using their talents, no doubt. But the main factor is the work of the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me a complete salvation. Here we can read, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And I think throughout John's Gospel, it's very clearly to us, crystal clear actually, that Christ has been sent by the Father once for all. He died on the cross for all people once for all, to reveal his Father, his heart for us, to teach and to gather disciples. So in John chapter 6, verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Even the prayer in John 17, that he makes clear that Christ is sending out his disciple, and this has been God's plan from the beginning to save people. Christ was crucified for you and for me, and he rose up from the death to proclaim that he conquered death and everything. He is the Lord. And this, there's no need to be repeated. He did it once for all, that all who believe in him will be saved. It's amazing that the Father sent me, it's completed forever and ever, and then Christ is saying, I send you. An ongoing, clear commission until Jesus Christ is coming back. So we have to do it almost every day. So we have to think, oh God, how do you will use my testimony? I will share you something. Maybe you might feel it's funny. A friend of ours, she's my age, and she works in the Christian bookshop. And many young students and kids came into her Christian bookstore. Shop. And she was praying, Lord, how can I share the gospel with them? And one day she told me, And she put her hand before her mouth and she said, Hartmut, I feel so embarrassed, but I'd like to share something with you. I like rap music. Hey, she's 57 like me. I like rap music. She said, I hate the content, forget it. But this way, you know, she just loves it. And you know, God, he is almighty, he sees the people. So one day he brought a Turkish young guy, 15 years old, and rapper. He came into her Christian bookshop and said, hey, what's going on here? What kind of books do you have? You know, in this way. And she acted in the same way. Hey, I have to... You know, an ordinary lady putting her hair together like this. Not very well dressed for our modern way of thinking. But you know what? Between this Turkish boy, young man, and her, a relationship started of trust. So actually she challenged him to memorize Bible verses. And he's doing it. And I think it's a big blessing for him. One question to you. Do you think this young man would answer if she would have said, oh, you know, do you like to come to my Bible study? No, forget it. He needs a different approach to reach his thought, his heart, his mindset. So we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to know what's going on and how we transport the old gospel. The gospel will never change. But the means and the roads and the tools and whatever we use to bring the gospel to the people, we need creativity, and so good to know that God is the creator. So Christ is sending us to live in his power. And I think it's here the clear implication for mission. As the Father sent Jesus to save and not to condemn, we are messengers of his peace, of his grace and righteousness, because Jesus Christ is sending you and you and me and us to this world to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings is sending you and me with this wonderful message of grace. And he also is giving you the all necessary equipment and the necessary power, enabling you and us to share this with authority. Not because we, but because he lives in us. And that means all Christians are included, no matter where you live. Here in Leipzig, in a small village, Kaluga, in China, or whatever. So here, it's interesting, he sent us out, also his disciples, and he preached to them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And we know from according to the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, everybody who believes in Jesus Christ becomes the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that also means that the fruit of the Spirit should be there in our life to attract people to come to church, to attract people to Christ, not because of us, to glorify him. And I'd like to say something about the cross. We studied the Mandarin language, the Guoyu in Chinese. And I'd like to show you something. The Chinese word for salvation means Zhou. Zhou, it's very easy. Zhou, the savior, the Zhou. Okay? And when you write Chinese, you have to write it in a particular order. If you start here, the character is wrong. You have to start this way. And this way looks like a cross, you know? Okay? So what's happened? If you and I, as Christians, as ambassador of peace, we'll take the cross away from our life, from our service, in our sermon, what will be happen? What will happen? Well, you can use actually the same, the rest of this blue ones, to create a new Chinese character, and that means Kong means empty. Empty. And as I was studying Chinese, it dawned to me, this is maybe a reason why our churches here in the land of Reformation and all over, they have become more and more empty, maybe because we don't preach and also live a Christian life without the cross. So we have to proclaim the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People are waiting outside to listen to the good news. They need the Lord. Definitely, there's no other way, no other religion, no other way to God, to the Heavenly Father. So be encouraged. We Christians are messengers of peace because Jesus Christ is sending you and me. So we escort the confidence and inner assurance that Christ is always with me because he lives in us through the Holy Spirit. We also share the power of forgiveness. So Jesus Christ sends us to live in the power of the Spirit, but also to send us to preach and to practice forgiveness. I guess I don't tell you anything new. It's not up to us. We can't forgive sins. Only God and Jesus Christ can forgive our sins. But the main content of the gospel is forgiveness of sins and the restoration of the fellowship between God and man. And if you lead somebody to know the Lord, and this person is confessing her or his sins, honestly, you can say your sins are forgiven. It's a privilege to say so. And I'd like to encourage you to be a messenger of peace, of the gospel of grace. And let me close with a personal testimony. I was 14 when my mother passed away. My father, he was an addict to alcoholism for many, many years. At my age of 70, he just left us as a family. So I was living almost by myself. For many years, I hated my daddy because he just left. I couldn't stand with it. For almost 10 years, I had no idea where he was. I thought he was maybe already dead. So after seminary, we went to the States, and when we came back from the States, we want to join our mission society, and then my brother called me, and he said, "We know we got the address from your daddy, from our daddy." So I went, my wife and I, we went there, and here in front, he was standing, my dad, shaking hands as an alcoholic. And my first reaction was just hug him. I hugged him. I started crying. I said, "Dear Dad, I love you. And you know what? I will forgive you. And I can forgive you." And then he looked in my eyes and said, "Why are you doing this?" I said, "Not because of me, but Christ is living in me. I received his forgiveness. I know what grace means all about. So I want to say to you, I forgive you. And let us start a new life." By the grace of God, my father became a Christian at this particular evening. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for your living word. And we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you are not only telling us we have to go and to live as Christians, but also you are giving us everything what we do need to go on, to serve you and to serve others, and to bring the gospel, the unique gospel of grace and love and righteousness to those who are in darkness. Lord, grant us your blessings and your guidance. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.